This was Daniel and Shane of Azushua Falk.
Okay. Does someone want to lend me Dalit? Shrara Dalit. Shakayach. Thank you. Okay. So, the Maram Shik has a fascinating tshuva regarding this whole discussion about Chazaka B'mitzvahs. It was about the Gaboim, the new Gaboim, the old Gaboim. So he says like this. There was the paragraph of the Nira that he wants to divide the issue into three categories. Words. Just because you did something, say for example, somebody was buying the wine for Havdalah, like we had that case, but no one ever asked him, he just decided, you know what, I go to the store, and I'm buying wine, so I'll donate, for every box I buy, I'll donate one bottle to the shul. No one asked him. No one. He doesn't been doing it. So is that a chazaka or not? Or is it only if the tzibor or the gabai, said, we would like you to do this, or he bought it from the tzibor. So he says like this, that his shita is similar to what Rabbi Kivegi says. That you need a chazaka sheishi mataina. Where does that come from? That's the Gemara in Bava Basra. Whereas a person was living, he lives in a house. And someone says, my house. So it says, no, I've been living here for the past 3 years. And no one said anything. That's not a good chazaka unless you say, I bought it from you. And with the raya that I bought it from you is I've been living here the past 3 years and you didn't say anything. But I just say I'm living here for 3 years, that doesn't mean anything. Because so what, you're living here for 3 years? So what are you saying? Maybe you're a goslim for the past 3 years. Yeah? So chazaka, to prove that you need something, that you own something, is you have to have a taina. What's your taina? I bought it. Therefore it's mine. Ah, where's the shtar? I lost it. But Lamaisa, I've been living here for 3 years, and no one said anything, and that should be in lieu of the shtar. But if you just say you're living here for 3 years, so what? That doesn't mean anything. Just because you're living here for 3 years doesn't mean it's yours. It could be someone else's who went to Eretz Yisrael for the past 5 years and hasn't been back. So that's concept of Chazaka Yeshima time. So Rabbi Kivega and Maram Shik say the same thing with Chazaka B'mitzvahs. There has to be a taina, meaning you have to claim, not just I've been doing it, I've been buying the wine for the shul, nobody asked me to do it. No, I just, on my own, I saw it, sometimes we're short, so I decided I'll do it. And so that is not necessarily a chazaka. I mean, now if the shul decides we want to sell this kibbutz, so then they could. We'll see. Mitam chazaka. So that's his yisod. So now he wants to divide it into three categories. The whole idea of chazaka. Number one, mishen is amitz shelo yisbatel hamitzvah hu bulei puloso yisbatel hamitzvah lezman. So I'll give you an example. The shul, people weren't eating shalosh shuras. Especially this time of year, Shal Shudas needs a little chizuk. Because the time you come home from shul, say you go to shul, it ends 11:30, you come home 12 o'clock, and you make kiddush, Christ. And then it's time to go to shul. As soon as you have to bench, it's almost time to go to shul. And you know, the shalosh shudas, it's not necessarily, you know, the easiest thing. But maybe after mincha, well, you know, maybe if they have the shalosh shudas in shul, you know, maybe the people will come and eat, you know. So someone went ahead and they stepped up to the plate. And they said, you know what? I'm sponsoring shalosh shudas in the shul for the next year. He took it upon himself. It should be his chus for whatever. And then someone else wants to claim that they want to do it now. So you know what the Maram Shik says? Just like if something is in the ocean and you save it from the ocean, and if you didn't save it, it would have been gone. So the fellow who lost it has total yesh. As soon as it fell into the ocean, he was with yesh. You went ahead and laughed, and you saved it, so now it's yours, because the guy was already with yesh. So the same thing over here. The mitzvah of shalosh shudas, maybe in this community, was like a dead mitzvah, so to speak. People weren't doing it. It was clear they weren't eating it at home. And then they came to shul, and they were just schmoozing, and no one was eating shalosh shudas. And someone decided, I'm going to step up to the plate, and I'm going to sponsor shalosh shudas between milcha marv every week. So then it's his. Because he was zocha min ha-hefker, so to speak. Because in other words, it's not a real din chazaka. It's not a chazaka. Why? Because no one told him to do it. It wasn't like the tzibur said, we'd like you to take job. We know you're a wealthy person, and you can do it, whatever. And then when they said it to him in a nice way, so it's...
and so
he, you know, he just saw. He saw, you know, certain things like you, Rabbi Rosenberg. What's the name, Rosenberg, right? He saw that in America people weren't keeping Shabbos. So he opened the Shabbos lab in Williamsburg.
Lee Avenue.
He was the one, so it was like a forgotten mitzvah, so to speak. And he, you know, brought it back. You know. Yeah. So that's what he says over here. Misha mis'amik shelo yisbatel ha-mitzah hu v'lulei pulosu ha-hem yisbatel ha-mitzah l'zman adei zeh ha-lekematzel min ha-nor min ha-gayis, the kona. So that's one thing. So what are you getting it? You're not getting it midin chazaka. You're getting it because sort of like you saved it, just like the guy something was drowning in the ocean and somebody was losing it, and he was able to put a fishing net in and get it out, but the other guy, everyone was Messiah, so he gets to keep it. So the same thing, the mitzvah was a gone mitzvah, and you, so that's yours.
So it's like only you have an opposition that's
when you have to come out. No, it's not a free-for-all. It's that the mitzvah was, you know, like Galila. Someone's going to do Galila, whether I decide to buy Galila or not buy Galila, they can have Galila. But shalosh shudas, they won't necessarily have. Unless somebody steps up to the plate to say, I'm sponsoring shalosh shudas. But Galila, they're going to have Galila. Understand? So it's not just that no one was doing it. It was a lost thing. A lost mitzvah that you took care, you took it, it's yours. Number two. Mi shekibdo also akal b'mitzvah achas yu'achayim michol ma'asos ha'mitzvah zos u'bachar u'bog machol u'zchus ha'mitzvah zocha mitam hazocha. But if they said there's a mitzvah that I don't know, and they were mechabah him for the mitzvah, they could have been mechabah someone else, wait, hagba, glila, anything in the shul, so then the tzibur gave it to him. So that's a chazaka sheyeshi motayma. You know, it's a... They gave him the mitzvah. I remember when I was growing up, I used to daven in Bar Park by Rav Bick, that's all. So certain things he always did. like hagba on Mincha l'Shabbos. Rabbik always got hagba on Mincha l'Shabbos. He always davened for the Omid Mincha l'Erev Shabbos, and he always got hagba on Mincha l'Shabbos. Certain things, he was the Rav, but I'm saying certain things the tzibur gave to a certain person. So it's there. So that's a chazaka. That's number two. So again, it wasn't a lost mitzvah. Hagba was going to happen anyway, whether this person does it or that person does it. But they gave it to him. That's number two. Number three is like this. And this is the question of the year that was bothering me, and I see bothering others. Is that Mishnah Gittin? The Mishnah Gittin says that you have an Erev Chatzeres in somebody's house, you can't take it away. Why? Because if you take it away and they start putting it somewhere else, someone's going to say, oh, it must be that this family, yeah, maybe something, they did something wrong, you know, maybe the father is going to go to jail, you know, they'll start talking. You know, that's why they took it away. So that's Chashad. So Mishum Chashad, you can't move it. But the Mepharshim ask, I saw this question must be in the what the old call Rabbi Brodsky used to call it, the Green Monster. You know the Green Monster? The Green Monster? What's this? Well, the Otzer Mepharshim Talmud. It came out years ago. It was green. There was green books, and it came out in several Masechtas. It was known as the Green Monster. That's how Braunspiegel used to call it. Well, it's not used so much because now you have the Masifta, but I still go sometimes. I'll go to the shelf in the library and take a look at the Green Monster. You know, so I said, you know what? I'm going to look in Gittin under that and see if he has that question. And sure enough, I opened up the Green Monster in Gittin to that Mishnah about the Erev Chatzeres. And sure enough, he says, Yesh Shemakshim. You know, it was always good. I'll tell you, it was always good for what? If you had something bothered you, and you see who spoke about that kasha. You know what they say? It's a quote from Rav Huttner. When they put out the Green Monster, he said like this. He said, people think that if you have a kasha, and you have to look in 15 different svarim, till you finally find who asks your kasha, that's a melus patora. He says, that's not a melus patora. That's chippus. That's searching. That's not a melus patora. A melus patora is once you got the sefer that speaks about it and you're working to try to understand it, that's a melus patora. So he says, we're going to put out a sefer that's going to have all the kashas you might ask and all the different teirutim, and it'll be right in front of you. So you don't have to waste your time with the chippus. Because that's not taking away from a melus patora. That's taking away from chippus, and that's not a melus patora. That's what Rav Huttner said about the Green Monster when it first came out. Yeah, in the Hanami. That's why I always say about the library. You see, Baruch Hashem, our library is open shelf. I mean, you can go to the shelf and find those safe. A lot of big libraries, like in Hebrew U, in other places, in the 42nd Street Library and 5th Avenue, it's closed shelf. So you have to know what you want. And in the old days, I'm not a computer person, in the old days you filled out a piece of paper, and then 15 minutes later, they would bring you what you want. But the advantage of this is a lot of times you look in the library and you're looking for a certain thing, and then you see something else right next to it that you didn't even know existed. So that's the similar idea to what you're saying. So the first thing again, these three klolim are very... Maram Shik is... Rav Shecht always likes the tshuvas Maram Shik. It's very, very good tshuvas. So again, so he says three types of things. One is you were involved in a mitzvah that it shouldn't be nisbatal. The second is the tzibur was mechabed you. They gave you this covet. So now, the question is like this. The Green Monster, Freck the Green Monster. Hey, look at Green Monster. He says, why do you need what? Mishum Chashad, just say the guy has a chazaka. The guy has a chazaka, and it's in his house. So why do you have to have the reason of chashad that if you're going to move it to someone else's house, people are going to boom, boom, boom? So he said, so what's the answer? What?
He said
it's not a chazaka. Why not? Because who said that the tzibur gave it to them? It could be when they were making the Erev. So he just said, you know what, I'll do it. He just took it upon himself. If he wasn't going to do it, someone else was going to do it. But he said he happened to be there when they finally finished the Erev and said, okay, we're getting rid of the Erev. Next thing we need to do is the Chiris Rishus, the Erev Chateris. I'll do it. I'll go to the store. I'll get a matzah. I'll be zocher with someone else. It's not that the Gabbai called him up. I'm a tourist, the Gabbai of the shul. I'm asking you to... But Lemaisa, he's been doing it for the past 30 years, the guy. So you know what he says? A few ain't no time little and tiny chazakim. We call mokum kevish a sohu hadover hazez man harbe. Ain't la kachas mi menu b'vnei darke shalom. He says, so he says you shouldn't do it b'vnei darke shalom or chashad, but you shouldn't, you know, take it away from him. The Gemara says either chashad or darke shalom, whatever it may be. But that's not midin chazaka. That's why, in other words, if you hold from this yisod that chazaka is only yeshi mataina. That you said, I bought it, they gave it to me. You understand? But say, I was just doing it. No one told me to do it. I was just doing it. And it wasn't a mitzvah that was going to be forgotten if I didn't do it. So it's not, you know, category A. It's not category B. It's just, I was doing this. I happened to be doing it. Now someone else wants to do it. So mivnei darkei sholom, you shouldn't relinquish. But this is only so Rabbi Kivager that maybe a chazaka needs chazaka sheishi matayim. I don't know if necessarily anyone holds of that, but that's the shita of Rabbi Kivager, and that's what the Maharam Shemit says over here. It answers the kasha, you know, of the thing. Okay, good. So that's the Yisod of the Maharam Shuk. Then, question 36. The Trumas Hadashim. Also, he writes here, I should have really used Xerox. You know, I'm not a person who tells you to look in secondary sources. I always Xerox the primary sources. So, but here, I didn't. So you can see it on page 25. The Baal Truma Sedeshin, I always tell my Talmidim, you have to know every Truma Sedeshin. Right? Every Truma Sedeshin, you have to know. Because the Sod of Halacha is always in the Truma Sedeshin. So you have to know every Truma Sedeshin. You know, it's a lifetime project. But, you keep looking it up. You'll see, it came out every page. If you should learn Shulchan Aruch by Ian, came out every page in Shulchan Aruch will be some psak from the Truma Sedesh. Yeah. Baal Truma Sedesh because of Adas HaMordechai. She chesed mitzvahs tofes rach mogel shem gilum liknos chazaka kazum in HaTzibur. So he's also into this. Or since this guy's willing to pay for it, so everyone's masalik their zchus. So it has to be something that they normally sell. Okay, because the Baal Dvar Shmuel, Shafil Hechzik, Shonim Rabbis, Lotzis, Arami Dechavosim. Because the Dvar Shmuel, you know the Dvar Shmuel. What? No, that's the Beis Shmuel. Who's the Dvar Shmuel? No? What? So Shmuel Abu Hav. But what do we quote in the past years from the Dvar Shmuel? Yeah, in other words, the Dvar Shmuel made this very controversial statement that the Shulchan Aruch wasn't written by Rabbi Yosef Karo alone. In other words, he wrote the whole Beis Yosef, and then he gave out to his Talmidim, to you do the first 20 Simanim, you do the next 20 Simanim. That's the Dvar Shmuel writes. No, I happen to like it. And he says, based on this, it explains all the steers in Shulchan Aruch. In other words, instead of working your head off, right, that you have to work your head off to all these, so many contradictions that there are. And so the Dvar Shmuel says, I have the, one day I would like to write a whole article about it. About, by the Mishnah Brura, that his son writes, and his son writes explicitly, the reason why the steers in the Mishnah Brura is because this simin was written by my father. And this simon was written by my brother. So that's what... Yeah, it's a committee. Right. So the Shulchan Aruch also, he holds it was a committee.
It seems to me that the Bir Halacha is really more the Chavos Chaim's own thinking.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes when you find a stira, it seems to be more sense to go to Bir
Halacha. Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah, the Bir Halacha is very... Yeah, the final didaction was in this building. Because this room in this building. That's what was brought down. Why? Because the Chafetz Chaim's son-in-law was the Mashkiach of Yeshivas Rabbi Yitzchak Kochan from Mendel's Ox. And Mendel's Ox lived where? Where do all good Jews live? It's later. And Mendel's Ox lived in the West Side. In the same building as who? In the same building as Rabbi Aaron Kotler. Also lived on the West Side. The West Side is always a happening place. You know, there's a lot of interesting people in the West Side. So the Rabbi Paretsky, who was the Boch in here many years, who I was very close with, he also learned in Radin. He knew the Chafetz Chaim, he saw the Chafetz Chaim in Radin. And he told me when he would go visit, so he knew Reb Mendel already from Radin. So he would visit Reb Mendel, he would go to the building on the West Side, he would visit Reb Aaron Kotler also. They were in the same building. See, Reb Aaron Kotler really never lived in Lakewood. You'd think he lived in Lakewood. But he lived in, like Reb Abadi's told me, Reb Aaron wasn't there during the week. Meaning, he lived in West Side, then he moved to Borough Park. He was Osek Mitzorchei HaKlal. And he would come for Shabbos. I mean, it would be a long Shabbos, probably like Thursday to Monday or something like that. That's when he would come to Lake. That's why his main shiur was on Shabbos, the Baron Kotler. Most Rosh Hashivas don't give their main shiur on Shabbos. But he would give shiur on Shabbos in Lakewood. I should point out, now tonight is the Yortzeit of Rav Shlomo Kalbach. So I heard that Rav Shlomo Kalbach was one of the few people that would speak up in Shir, ask kashas, if you look at Holy Brother, Shteitan Holy Brother, that I told you that Rav Aaron Kotler was once bragging to Rav Moshe Feinstein about this Talmud that he had, Rav Shlomo Kalbach, how great he is, what Eloy is, etc. Then I heard from Chaim David Sarachik. See, look who walks in when I say Chaim David Sarachik. He told me that Rav Aaron, when he left Lakewood to go into Kiruv and music and things like that, he made a comment, Oy le Talmud Bavli, Oy le Talmud Yerushalmi. That was Rav Aaron Kotler's... one could question, maybe Klal Yisrael had benefited in other ways from Rav Shlomo Kalbach, that maybe they wouldn't. I'm not here to, make judgment calls on anybody or anything. But it's interesting how history unfolded and how he, I asked Rav Abadi once if he knew Rav Shlomo Kalbach from Lakewood. Was Rav Abadi learned by Rav Aaron in those days? And he told me that Rav Shlomo Kalbach was before him. He was early before him. But he said he would, even his time, he would come for a Shabbos here and there to visit. As Rabbi Badi told me about Shlomo Kalbach. This is Yortzeit, so we should have in mind. I told you the old story. Rabbi Harari and I were once walking on 13th Avenue. It was right after Yom Kippur. We were looking for Esrogim, and Shlomo Kalmbach was there with his entourage, and he proclaimed to the Oilam, he said, where can I get the most beautiful Esrog? And what's the idea? Esrog also represents, I think I have in my sefer, you know, Leif Tov. Esrog is the Leif. And so the beautiful Esrog also, I don't know if that's what he meant at that point, but I think that's what he personified, the most beautiful Esrog, meaning the most beautiful Leif Tov, of, you know, caring, generosity, etc. So if you have the most beautiful Esrog, that represents the Leif Tov of, okay. Okay. So we're gonna, okay. So we've officially, we've mamish finished the whole Chazara. Mamish, Adrenalach. Yeah, so the Troma suggestion was the that you need a Mokum Sheregilim Liknos Chazaka Zum and Atzibur. You see, it could be more than just Chazaka Sheishim Ataina. It means something that you bought, but it's something that's normally sold. You know, just because you bought it once doesn't mean something's normally sold, and he got it, so that's when you have. But something you did, and you were doing this nice thing, doesn't make it a chazaka.
Unlike the second.
Yeah, maybe a little bit different than the Maram Shek. I want to, you know, think about that some more, but perhaps. Okay, so we. So Sunday, Rabosai, we'll have a short shiur. I don't want to say, and then, you know. And I don't know, what should we have on the next Shorah, or should we have, there are a couple of Shomayaka Ona packets that we never did, I don't know, we'll have something that we were doing Shomayaka Ona last year, so some packets that we never got through, so you think amongst yourselves, you talk to Max or Ilan, they ask what we should do on Sunday, and then Monday we have the Machina. If you didn't sign up yet, please sign up. It seems that certain, like 10:45 to 11 wasn't a popular time. I don't know why. I don't know why 11 to 11:15 was so more popular than 10:45 to 11. But okay, whatever it is. So Bez Hashem, and then Monday Bez Hashem after the Bechina, we'll start the next packet 10 of Yuma. I just made I just handed in today packet 13. So. A lot of interesting things. So Bez Hashem will...